Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyu and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show here on UK Health Radio, the real feel-good radio. According to Forbes magazine, many women are stepping back or losing employment. The US Bureau of Labor Statistics report women's participation in the labor market is the lowest it has been in 30 years and women's unemployment has increased by 2.9 more than men's. According to another study by Indeed, 29% of women have reduced their working hours during the pandemic and 9% have left the labor market entirely. Today we will discuss about the current trends and challenges that women face in work with Gladys Simon, a life coach dedicated to helping working moms master career and motherhood. Hi Gladys, welcome to the Healthy Debate Show. How are you?
I'm very good. Hello, Andra. Thank you for having me on that show of yours. So thank you for
inviting you, isn't it? Well, I'm very pleased to have you here just because this is such a hot topic. As I made the introduction, the percentages are speaking for themselves, isn't it? Women are having a tendency to leave employment. And I was wondering if this, if motherhood can be one of the main causes, because during the pandemic, for example, women with children have spent a lot of time at home, and maybe somehow, to some extent, maybe they reconnected with their children in a different way. They created some bonds that they don't feel comfortable to let go. So this is the reason why I wanted to speak with you today. But before we get there, I really want to understand, you know, a bit more about your professional background and how come did you come to become passionate about helping working moms?
I became passionate about working moms totally by accident, but I'm only half joking. So I tend to describe myself using three big, you know, words. So I am a mom, I am a consultant, and I am a coach. So in my capacity coming into your show today, I'm coaching a mom, working mom to have that big, beautiful life on their own term. Because society have conditioned us in a way in choosing between motherhood and career. So how did I become passionate about women? I became a mom myself, right? And I work in a corporate organization, and I experienced firsthand the divide between the before and the after. Almost like perception changing a little bit, but because I work in a corporate environment, I experienced firsthand the unique difficulties that a working mom face in a corporate environment. So before you have kids, you've seen as available. You can go everywhere, right? People feel like you can do this at a short notice. And then you have kids, your priority change a little bit, and that little perception of you being not interested, just being a mom, become obvious and obvious. So for the longest time, I felt like I was alone, right? That was the lie I was telling myself. I was alone, feeling dejected, and almost crazy, thinking, there's a change here, right? And then I realized that when I start sharing my stories with other women, they came and say, oh yeah, we felt this change. So it made me feel less crazy. And I said, someone has to do something about it. Someone has to share our experience. So my aim at the beginning was to create a community where women that became mothers and working who share the experience, tips, advice, who create that community. And it became, something that I took forward, because when you become a parent, you become the de facto role model for your children. So I wanted my daughter's motherhood journey to be very different from mine. So I wish hers will be way more better than mine.
Well, thank you very much, Gladys.
That conversation,
Well, thank you very much for sharing your experience. It's really interesting that, you know, you felt things have changed. And I was wondering, do you think that that was an internal feeling? So you were feeling that, or there were clear evidence that the outside world was looking at you differently? I mean, your colleagues, your bosses, did you feel like you, or do you have evidence that you received less responsibilities, or you were not taken as serious as previously? Like, what were some of the changes that you've noticed when you went back to work?
All of the above, what you have highlighted, and initially you think it's just you, then you start looking around and see subtle. So it little things like, you can't be available to change a program at a minute notice, because when you're a parent, there's a lot of dependency. Your time is not yours anymore, right? So I wouldn't be able to jump on a plane to go to the other side of the country on a customer engagement, or I wouldn't be able to go on an impromptu, you know, after hours drink or dinner just because I could. So those are the kind of things that start becoming a bit constant, my no, and then realizing that people stop asking. And if you have those career discussions, people feel like, oh, well, I thought you were interested in your kid, right? So the availability, you know, the rapport that you have to say, hey, I raise my hand for every project before you have kids, become a little bit limited. So you want to focus your time. But I think that shift doesn't happen automatically around you, your colleague, your workplace. They don't realize that you shifted as quickly as you do realize that. So you have to start a campaign of re-educating people to say, hey, I'm a mom, but I'm still me, because motherhood is adding to me. It doesn't subtract to me. So the change is there, and I attribute that to the fact that you change, your priority change, you realize that quicker than people around you.
It's very interesting, actually, because every single one of us has had a mom at some point, right? And most of the moms were at some point working moms. So it's interesting to see that, you know, we don't really receive as much understanding from everyone else, despite the fact that, you know, their families experienced similar situations. Maybe it's just the hunger for power, for, you know, the fast pace that you have in corporations, very strict objectives and deadlines that you have to meet. But overall, I do believe that this puts tremendous pressure on the working moms. I work in HR, and I also have noticed this with my colleagues. Once they become moms, you know, there's an extra stress added there, and there's a fear of missing out good opportunities. And of course, you know, it takes a really good organization to be able to somehow, you know, make sure that women feel comfortable to become moms. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to a personal curiosity. Women often pause their professional lives to become moms, and this is not an easy decision. We've noticed, you know, you have so many studies that are actually showing that women are postponing to become moms as much as possible, as much as their body allows them, because they are concerned about, you know, what's going to happen after, you know, what's the aftermath after I'm having a baby, especially that, you know, in most of the countries, you don't really receive a lot of financial support from the government. So can young women get the courage to have children in a society that's focused mainly on career and survival? What do you think? What have you noticed from your clients?
I was going to say that on listening to this, that you are in command. You are on the driving seat of your own life, goals and ambition. Could you have any children before a career? Can you have children and career? Can you just have a career? There's no wrong answer to that. It will depend on one's priorities in life, right? I would say children are adorable, but motherhood is not for everybody. But depending on what you want in goals, value, career, and aspiration-wise, it is possible to have both going on concurrently. So in my coaching practice, I have had women that have had kids before building a career. I've had the opposite, people that build a career before having kids. So there's no wrong answer. It's just your answer, what works for you as a person.
And that's very reassuring, isn't it? Because most societies or more most cultures, for example, have a tendency to create this idea that, you know, you have to be a young mom. You know, you have to be, and there's this pressure that, you know, you won't have forever. And you're almost being judged, you know, if you reach 35, especially where I'm from, that's a serious problem. Then this means that you can either not have children, you're too ambitious, or, you know, you talk too much, you're too opinionated, you're too strong-minded, and no man actually wants to stay with you because you're difficult. So I've heard this on many situations, you know, with many of my friends and in my previous practice as a psychotherapist. So, you know, it's difficult to be 35, it's difficult to be 38 and still feel like, you know, I have a bit of time. There's a bit of time for me to still develop my career and, you know, push the pressure from the society somewhere in the background. So what have you noticed? Do you think that the society is actually pressuring us to fit in a specific pattern and, you know, we're kind of being judged for not being courageous enough to make this decision? Or do you think actually things have changed lately and the society has evolved? I know you're based in the States, isn't it, Gladys? Am I wrong?
I am in Canada.
Oh, you're in Canada. Sorry. So,
America.
yeah. So, but okay, anyway, it's quite of a different culture, different way of thinking about things than in Europe, right? I'm based in London. So how does it feel there in terms of the society's pressure to fit into specific motherhood patterns?
So I was going to say that the society evolved a little bit. I think there's a little bit more consciousness in having a woman belong to herself instead of being what I call public property. So I feel like the society we grew up in has always had something to say about womanhood, right? We're too much, we're not enough. This is always the fine balance growing up that we had to achieve, right? And growing in a society that tells you what you have to aspire to, what you have to be, what you don't have to be. Those are the kind of thing that, you know, was a fine balance in being a woman that is successful, quote unquote, in society. So I think would we have a revolution? Would things change completely? I would say it depends. I think we become more aware of the weight of expectation on women's shoulders, whether you are a mom or not. That weight of expectation is put on our shoulder and we have to manage those, right? That's what you were talking about, the pandemic earlier. When the pandemic happened, that highlighted the double shift that women were doing. You know, childcare duty is primarily on a woman, right? Whether she works full time or not, that's her job. If there's an emergency at school or the daycare, guess what they call, who they call first? Moms, right? So all I'm trying to say is like there's an awareness. People became a little bit more aware of that weight on women's shoulder. Some people took action onto it and became a little bit better at helping out. But also, I would say there will be pocket of situation where people still put those expectations on you, whether you like it or not as a woman. And it goes back to my previous comment. You are on the driver's seat of your life, career, and ambition, right? You can decide to go against what society expects you to do, and life is still okay. I have friends that don't want to be moms or don't want to be married or don't want to, you know, work in a corporate, and those are all valid choices.
I'm so glad you mentioned this because it's very, you know, it's putting a lot of people at ease, thinking that, you know, you use this metaphor that you are on the driver's seat. So I think that's really, really an interesting statement, because a lot of the times we get caught in all this, you know, the rush of performing, the rush of fitting in patterns, the rush of, you know, being liked, accepted, loved. And we end up making some decisions that to some extent don't belong to us. You know, they're just a result of the influences we had around us. And to say that you actually, you know, you're driving this and you take full accountability. And I often say, you know, no one cries my tears. You know, so if no one cries my tears, I cry my own tears, then it's kind of fair for me to say, you know, this is not right for me, or this is perfect for me, if it is to happen in this way. So, yeah, thank you very much for bringing this idea forward.
I just wanted to add on to that.
Please
say, trust your instinct, listen to your voice a little bit more often. I think you just illustrated, Andra, that sometimes you say the need to perform, the need to create. Is it your voice? what would you say? Would you want to please? Would you want to, you know, perform? It is what I'm saying. Let's reconnect to ourselves, to our dreams, and hear our voice a little bit more often than we do.
Well, I was scared for a second because I thought you were asking me if that's my voice. And I was like, we're not starting therapy, Gladys. I think you got this wrong. I was like, I'm not getting involved. I'm not responding to this.
It is not. I wouldn't be as good therapist as you are, Andra. So I wouldn't even try.
well, I, you don't know until you try, Gladys, isn't it? So going back to another idea that kind of, you know, it's a bit almost triggering for me. You know, women are fearing sometimes that they might miss on promotions, getting on the ladder. And we discussed this right at the beginning of our conversation. And sometimes, you know, women postpone to have that, to make this decision to become moms. Is there any way we can prepare our careers for that moment? I know it's a challenging question, but basically what I mean by this is just like for my own, peace of mind, Gladys, to be fair. But is there a way that we can, you know, prepare for that moment when we are close to our 40s? Is there maybe push our career further, maybe work a little bit harder than you would normally work? Maybe, you know, anything that can help us prepare for the moment that we decide to pause our careers to have children?
So it's a tricky question, like you said, because it would depend on people, priority at a time, right? So if you want to prioritize your career before having your child, I think you probably will have some sort of a plan to bring you to that point. To say, once I'm 40 and I have reached the VP role, then I can have a child. Like, you know, those are the kind of thing I will advise first. Whatever plan you decide to go, what are your priority? When is the end goal? Because we can get sucked in doing things because life happens, right? Yeah. All the time.
Absolutely.
So it might be saying, I'm going to have my kid in my 20s, then I'm going to focus on my career. And then you have to say, well, my career starts when I'm in my 30s, right? So have a plan, whatever option you decide, know when it's time to stop. Because sometimes we get carried away. The other thing I was going to say is, you know, we acquire transferable skills by, you know, our career, through our career or our motherhood journeys. So we have those skills. So whether you start learning those skills at work first, then become a mother, you can reuse those skills and vice versa. I'm talking about, you know, multitasking. So having juggling multiple priorities at a time, you will learn it at work. You can do that in motherhood for sure. That's what you will do. You know,
absolutely.
being able to have tough conversations with people. If you have a toddler that is on the why phase or the no phase, you will know that you are a better negotiator than you give yourself credit to. And that's the kind of thing you can do at work if you have a difficult colleague or a difficult boss. So it's all about always negotiating, going around, finding a win-win situation. So I can go on. So whatever skills you are learning, whether by your kids and having kids, I am sure there's a plethora of those that you can use depending on your journey. So to summarize my answer, Andra, you can start with your career and have kids or vice versa. Have a plan, know when to stop, have a destination mind and then enjoy it. You know, there's no wrong answer. What can possibly go wrong?
Well, this is a good suggestion, isn't it? And also, whilst you were talking, I was thinking about the resilience that moms develop.
Exactly.
You know, in their day-to-day lives, and you know, the effort that the way they start learning how to manage their effort, you know, because they have to be awake most of the times, isn't it? Especially when the children are small, so they have to be available. So it kind of prepares you for the corporate world, isn't it? Which is not very different. Sometimes it's like a playground, isn't it, in corporations? So actually it can be a good set of skills, isn't it?
I was gonna say you won't hear that from me, but I'm nodding my head.
Well, I'm free to say whatever I think. So there you go. I've said it. Gladys, let's have a few minutes of commercial break, and then we will come back to discuss discrimination in the workplace, how to prioritize, mom guilt, which is a very, very interesting topic. So we'll be back after a few minutes with Gladys.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Gladys. Gladys is a coach specialized in helping moms master their ability to, you know, work and deal with the children and the challenges of having children, isn't it? So we were discussing before the break how can we prepare our careers before we become moms? How can we, kind of choose our own path rather than being pressured by the society to focus a specific pattern? And I would like us to move towards discrimination in the workplace. So, for example, when you attend an interview, you are more likely, and you have children, yeah, you are more likely to face discrimination, you are more likely to not get the job because you have children. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, when you have children, your availability is not as fantastic as it used to be. You can't just jump in a plane and do whatever the company wants you to do. So how do we ignore what I call motherhood penalty? Or do we ignore it? Or do we address it in any way?
I was going to say you should not ignore it. It is real. It is real. What I chose to do myself and what I encourage mothers in my coaching practice to do is to go in what I call a re-education tour. So it's really taking the time to re-educate people, to say to them, I have changed. I have become more. There's more of me here, but I'm not the same person I was, like before having my kid and after I have my kid. So for me, I put a quick PowerPoint just to say, before I could jump on a plane. Now I have to have a little bit more notice period. So it's not saying I can't do this anymore, but give me a little bit more flexibility and giving them tools to help you, right? So I went and called it a re-education tour, but it was really providing tools to help them help you, knowing that I can still be part of the team. I still have, you know, ambition. I still want to grow my career, But I'm a mom, so my time is need to be focused on little, you know, priorities, because it is not mine anymore 100%. And I might not be able to jump on a plane at the, you know, 1 hour notice, but I will be able to jump on a plane in a, with a week notice. So those are the kind of thing I would advise. Do not ignore that, the motherhood penalty. But most of the time when you go on your re-education tour with your, you know, your manager, your colleagues, everybody wants to be supportive. And some people don't even know how to handle this. So you have to go and tell them. Hey.
And sometimes it sounds, so what I'm hearing is actually setting up the right boundaries, because in all fairness, with or without children, why should you be available in an hour if you don't work in, you know, if you're not a doctor, for example, right? And someone's life depends on you. Like, why should it be like that, isn't it?
I know. And you're right. It's all about setting boundaries. But I would say you set boundaries as a person. That's totally recommended. But now that you add another role, another hat into yours, you almost have to reset those boundaries again, almost saying, hey, now I have another person that I'm responsible, you know, of, and I can't have meetings after 5, or I cannot start before 8. So those are the kind of thing, I would say, the transparency that I provided to people working with me. At the time I had my kids and it worked pretty well. They were just going and being very mindful, because you put those rules around and say, explain why you need to. And then as your kid grow, you probably be more relaxed around rules as well. It's not as rigid when they are older than when they are younger.
Let's think about this scenario. You had a baby 6 months in. You've decided that it's the best time to go back to work now. Childcare is secure. You get some help from your partner. And you become suddenly very anxious because you know you'll come back to work in the next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. What do you say to a mom that's in that stage, the stage before she returns to work? Because I'm thinking about the pressure of the first day, isn't it? The fear of, you know, I've missed six months, you know, what if so many things happen? How do I, you know, make up the time? Do we have to make up the time? So how do we relax before that moment and calm our anxiety?
You don't. I was gonna say that.
You don't calm it. You just let it. Just right.
I'm half serious here. I think we spend a lot of time trying to, you know, shut down our own feelings, right? We can't be happy all the time. We can't be positive all the time. We can't be anxious all the time. If you are, you know, I strongly encourage you to ask for professional help. But what I'm trying to say is, because we are human beings, it is a flow and web of emotion. We have to accept that, yes, I'll feel a little bit anxious. It's a perfect, normal feeling. And if I do not try to interfere with it, it will probably pass and be replaced by something else, maybe excitement, or maybe confirm your anxiety. So your child is 6 months. You're anxious about going back to work. It's normal. But I would say, think also about the thing you're living. The child is, you know, protected, nurtured, and supported. In your example, you have childcare secure, you have the partner help. So you have created a support system and an environment that allow you to feel your anxiety for a little bit and then go and conquer your own wall. So it's a balanced thing, but I will be one of those that will not refrain you to feel anxious. It is your brain telling you, I'm scared, because not being somewhere for 6 months, it's a lot of pressure coming back. Would you be exactly the same? Would you have forgotten? Absolutely, you would have forgotten the thing. But could you learn? Yes, you can. Could you relearn? Could you pivot to do something else more exciting? There's a lot of possibilities here. Don't try to be exactly like you were before. That's the point.
That and that's an amazing conclusion, because I think so what happens most of the times is that we're trying to be what we used to be, you know, and this mm-hmm. this happens throughout our lives. When we reach 40, we still want to have 56 kilos, or we still want to put the same type of makeup because it was fine when we were 20s. I think the adaptation to the stages is very important. And I think, you know, what you mentioned there about accepting the feelings was absolutely great, because you are right. Why should you ignore how you're feeling? At the end of the day, you know, you're not the only one that feels like this. And it's an emotion that's in perfect alignment with the context, isn't it? Absolutely. It's not out of the ordinary. But let me give you another challenge, Gladys, because whilst you were talking, I was thinking about something else. What okay. if you are a single mom, and what if you don't have this support system, and your struggle is, you know, financial, for example, and you are pressured to go back to work, but your heart is completely with the child? How do you emotionally manage this struggle? Because it might be a struggle.
It will be a struggle. It's not that it might be. It will be. So I will say that's my number one thing that I ask mom, and I am on that table, so I'm not saying things that I haven't experienced myself. You have to be, as woman, as mother, being able to ask and, more importantly, accept support whenever we can get it. So, single mom, create a community, surround yourself with people that you trust, and ask for help, and accept the help that is given to you. You can't create, you know, you can't build anything on an island by yourself. You need help. So it could be a single mom that have people that she trusts around her that she can rely on for childcare when she can go back to work, or when she can go and reskill, maybe go back to university to learn a better skill to, you know, better, you know, her life and those of her children. But for me, the problem is, like, know your priority, create a community, and ask and receive help. Those are the three things I would say.
And the fact that you mentioned, you know, receive and accept help, that's very powerful. And it is powerful because there's a tendency to maybe isolate sometimes when you're going through struggles and feel like, well, this is no one else's business, so I kind of have to handle it on my own. But, you know, just to add on what you just said, also ask for flexible working, you know, flexible hours, flexible working environment. You know, don't accept anything that's given to you because it might not work, you know. And going back to what we've discussed previously, things don't have to be the same. They will be different. And you should accept, you know, the fact that, you know, you need more flexibility now. So, you know, asking for help from friends, of course, it's really important for mental support, for psychological support, but also from your employer with mm-hmm. some specific requirements that most of the times, if they're reasonable, most of the organizations will accept and at least consider, if not accept.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I say you have to be your own advocate. You have to know your priority. You have to be vocal about them. And you have to receive the help.
Gladys, after a few minutes of commercial break, I would like us to discuss about mom guilt, about superpowers, if we have any, and about perfection, and if there's such thing as a perfect mom. We'll be back with Gladys in a few moments.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Gladys. Gladys is a coach who's working with women who are trying to manage both work and life at home, and she's been successful in helping them. So today she's sharing some of her wisdom, some of her case studies, some of her experiences with us. So Gladys, we were discussing about the challenges of a new mom that goes to work in her first days and the anxiety that this can create, and also about accepting the feelings and the fact that things cannot be the same for the simple fact that they're not the same. Is there such thing as mom guilt? And the reason why I'm asking this is because I've noticed a lot of my colleagues who have children, they feel very guilty, and physically, you can notice they're physically and mentally distressed because they feel like, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be in work. I should be with my child. It's the fear of missing out the first words, the first steps, and everything that a child can bring, you know, the joy and the experiences. Is mom guilt real? And how can we balance things in our lives and our emotions in order to, you know, not feel so much pressure and so much guilt?
Yes, mom guilt is real. And I have some bad news or spoiler alert. It's there to stay. I don't think you ever get rid of mom guilt. As long as you are a mom, you probably have that. So a lot of time, and I spend a lot of my, you know, early mommyhood fighting the, you know, the guilt, thinking I should be at home. And never really enjoying anything because I was away from my child or I was away at work. And, you know, it was always a constant circle of being guilty, feeling guilty all the time. So mom guilt is, you know, for me, I started looking at it in a different perspective. Since I knew I couldn't get rid of it, I started making friends with it, right? So it is really almost, you know, let me give you an example. You drive a car, right? Andra, you have a car, you know how a car works, right?
Yeah.
When you put some fuel inside the car, you drive for a while. There's no problem. And then when the fuel goes a little bit low, you have something that tells you, boom, you know, low fuel or fuel reserve, you know, whatever car model you have. But it tells you, with that little light and a little sound on your dashboard, that, hey, you might run low. So that's why I start seeing mom guilt. It is that little light in my virtual dashboard that tells me, you haven't done, or you are low on maybe mom love, right? So I start prioritizing quality moment with my kid rather than quantity. So I know that when we have our time or time together where we bond and we do things that really create that memories that we do with my children, it fills up my fuel tank, right? So it's also taught me to be present. If I'm a mother, I will be a present mother. If I'm an employee, a worker, I'll be a present worker, right? Mom guilt comes when you have that little gray area between the two. But you learn to be present in each moment of your life. And then it teaches your kid about, you know, knowing that at some point mom's still going to come back to me. But she needs to focus on different things. So I start accepting mom guilt and learning to be present in each moment of my life. And some days, and most days, I'm going to be maybe a better mom than an employee and vice versa. So some days I'm going to suck at being a mom because prioritize my employee life more, and other days I'll prioritize my mom life more than my employee. I hope my employers is not listening to it, but it will happen. It's all about balancing that eventually. But my cure to mom guilt was to be intensely present in each aspect of my life, as opposed to trying to be jack of all trade and master of none kind of approach.
So do you think moms have superpowers?
I truly believe we do, yes.
So let's say maybe the top three or the top five superpowers, or some powers that we didn't know we had before becoming moms.
Okay. I will start with my favorite one, finding your voice. So before I had my kid, and this is an experience that I've heard over and over again, both in my coaching practice and outside of my coaching practice, I think becoming a mom gave a lot of us a focus that you didn't know existed. You start advocating not only for yourself, but for your children, right? Because they depend on you. You had to be, I was that kind of girl that was sitting in the back of the room, blending with the wallflower paper, like you wouldn't see me. I'm naturally an introvert, right? But at the end of the day, when I had my child and I started realizing I have all that child has to go and advocate, I am that child's voice. Like, you know, when you have a child, the first year and a half, they don't really talk, but you are the one relaying what they need and want to the world. So you start finding your voice a little bit more by doing that exercise. I think we do that. How do you know when a child cries? What cry is it? Is it sleeping cry or tired cry or boredom? So the child communicates to you and you are their voice. So I start finding my voice in a process of being a mother, because I had to find, to translate what my children was doing this. So advocacy is the first superpower that came to me. So everybody has their own different superpower, but I would just say advocacy, juggling multiple priorities, like being able to be present in each. So I would work at a certain time and then being better at saying, I'm working on this project for 1 hour, and after an hour, I'm going to go and sing Frozen song for another 20 minutes kind of thing. So I became better at managing my time because, like I said earlier, and then I was going to say negotiation was another superpower I have, because like I also said, if you have a terrible twos or terrible tantrum kid, yes, you become negotiator to avoid a lot of those tantrums and crisis. Sometimes very, very early, before 7 a.m, you probably advert three crises. So you can take on a lot of things. And I've heard other moms tell me about, you know, being able to plan, be able to, you know, those planning skills that you have when you organize everything in place. Skills where you, I call it the chief happiness officer, they become very empathetic, so they can feel in the room if everybody is having equal talk time, love time, whatever. So they will be able to be a little bit more aware of everybody else in the room. So there's some of those superpowers that you get.
Well, this sounds like a lot. I think that my favorite one is indeed advocacy, and finding your voice and being able to use your voice differently than you did in the past. So thank you very much for reminding us about the superpowers, because sometimes, you know, you don't have to be necessarily a mom to identify the superpowers, but if you're a mom, kind of it's a must, isn't it?
I was gonna say, I think we all born with superpowers, and depending on your environment and circumstances, you develop some, you know, stronger than the other. And then motherhood definitely bring out those that maybe were dormant or probably dominant for you. So we all have superpowers. For me, I think motherhood just gives you the ability to practice some of those on a daily basis. Like, you know, there's no holiday for mom. There's no time off. So, and when you have more than one kid, you become a referee. So I think you practice that a lot, sometimes multiple times a day. So.
Gladys, I would like our listeners to get back to get in touch with you. So where can we find you online?
So the best way to get me is go on my website. It's called www.mylifecouch. So it's couch is couch, mylifecouch.com. So this is a website where I share a lot of things that I know, I love, testimonials, conversation, I give some, you know, things like mom mantras of journal. So I give a lot of things there. So if you want to be exposed to what I'm doing in my coaching practice, the best place to go is my website. And then if you want to have a live conversation with me, I think LinkedIn. It's Gladys at Gladys Simon on LinkedIn is the one that you go. I share my more day-to-day thoughts about a walk in motherhood, and also on Instagram at My Life Couch. So those are the two places where you could be probably more live if you want to talk to me more instantly. Or you can always send an email to hello at mylifecouch.com.
Thank you so much, Gladys, for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking to you about motherhood, and I wish you all the best with your projects and with your customers.
Thank you so much. It was such a blast having to be on your show, Andrea. So I'm a big fan of what you're doing and how you take the time to celebrate yourself every day, even if a little bit of that me time that you are fighting hard to reclaim.
Well, thank you so much, Gladys. Have a great day ahead.
You too. Take care.
9 to 5 became an anthem for working women, uniting women together under one battle cry for fair working conditions. And guess what? 40 years later, women are still leaning into Dolly Parton's lyrics. Let's listen now to one of my favorite songs, 9 to 5, sang by Dolly Parton. Until next time, may we hear only good things.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For and devotion, you would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. They let you dream just to watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. Same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and